Hello and welcome to the Uncharted Podcast, where we explore possibilities in higher education through uplifting conversation and inspiring ideas. I'm Jim Wibberding, one of your hosts for today, and with me is co-host Becky St. Clair. Hi, Becky.
Hey, Jim. It's great to be here today. Thanks for joining us, listeners, here on Uncharted. Today, we're going to be talking with Amy Leukert, new VP for Student and Spiritual Life here at Pacific Union College, about her background, what she's learned so far about PUC, her take on the theme for the year, and maybe a surprising tidbit or two. Welcome to the Uncharted Podcast, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me here. What a delight.
Well, before we dive into the conversation here, let me share a bit about today's guest. Amy holds a master's degree in education administration and leadership and a PhD in education. Prior to accepting this role at PUC, Amy served as associate professor of education at La Sierra University in Southern California. She has published a book and done intensive research over the years, including her most recent project examining the definition of Adventist across North America. Amy is married with four children, two adopted adult children, and two biological children who join her and her husband, Christian, here in Angwin. Though Amy has been working here since April, she has been commuting and working two jobs until her family permanently relocated here mid-June. We are very, very glad you guys are finally here and getting settled, Amy. Welcome to the community.
It is good to be out of moving boxes, finally.
I bet. I know that feeling.
Yes. Moving is no fun, and no matter how you slice it, no matter how you do it, right?
So, yeah.
I agree. Yes. Now, tell us just a little bit about your journey. What led you to us here at PUC, and what does this opportunity mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a story that my family knows well, in that I was headed to PUC after graduating from Newbury Park Academy, had a roommate lined up, all the things, my major picked out, classes registered and everything. And then I think it was like early mid-August, I got a call from La Sierra University. They offered me a full ride to be the accompanist for the vocal octet. Okay. It was something that I was really excited about. So I feel like I did a U-turn and headed down to La Sierra, where I spent the next 4 years of my undergraduate. And while I have no regrets, I mean, you know, the way that God leads and the paths that you take, I met my husband there and, you know, the way our lives have gone from then. So no regrets, but I think there was always maybe a little part of me that was like, what if I had gone to PUC, right? And so this feels a little bit of a full circle, like, you know, yay, I think God finally was like, okay, now you get to go. Yeah, just professionally, again, met my husband at La Sierra. I was a music elementary education major. So I started in the elementary classroom. And I still feel, if people ask me, like, that's what I am by trade, a teacher at heart. We worked at elementaries and academies in Southern California Conference. We spent some time up at Monterey Bay Academy for a few years teaching there. And then we moved back down to Southern California in 2014, where my husband taught at Loma Linda Academy. And I started, that was my kind of first foray into higher education, where I worked at La Sierra University. Now, honestly, I was thinking that I would be there for maybe a year or two, and then I would go back into the classroom once my youngest was ready to start kindergarten. Well, one thing led to another. I started my doctorate, and then I've been in higher education so far. You mentioned the research that I did for my doctorate, and that was in Adventism and school choice and culture and all the things. And so at one point, Dr. Tricarton heard me present at Principals Council, I think it was, and he asked me to come and speak first for a cabinet retreat. I think that was in 2022. And then he later followed that up with an invitation to speak at Colloquium in 2022, and then another invitation 2023 Colloquium. So I'd kind of gotten to, you know, see the campus, know the campus, get to know some faculty and staff. And then it was, now several months ago, that he called me up kind of out of the blue and said, we've, you know, been praying and thinking of somebody to fill in this position for a VP for Student and Spiritual Life, and would you consider it? So one thing led to another, and here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like you already belong at PUC. So.
I feel that way.
Welcome.
So do
Thank
we.
You. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I was here for the colloquiums.
Okay.
Colloquia, I guess that it would be, that you did. And I really enjoyed what you presented a lot. And I feel like it really impacted me personally, but also professionally, because it kind of gave a window into what our students are experiencing as and their parents. Because I think, like, people in my generation are starting to have kids going into college. And so that's right. who we're looking at working with. And so understanding like maybe some of that cultural background may be really helpful for being part of this campus. So anyway,
absolutely.
It was really interesting. I'm really glad you were able to share that
with us.
So speaking of impact influence, let's hear a little bit about who has influenced you on your professional journey. Tell us who or what has been the biggest influence on your professional life and how.
I can think of a couple of individuals. One who is actually familiar to PUC campus, and that's Dr. William Chunstudy. Mm-hmm. He was here, I think, in an administrative role, and he continues to work actually down at La Sierra. Mm-hmm. But he's actually the one who recruited me to play for the vocal octet. And just from a musical approach and just life approach, I learned so much from him in my undergraduate. And then we've just continued to be friends. He's continued to mentor me over the last, two decades now, has been there for the important things in my life. You know, my wedding, celebration of my kids, my dad's passing, just all the things. And just, it's really profound, I think, to have somebody like that in your life who you can count on, you can lean on. I also think of Alyssa Keto. She's the director for the Center for Research on Adventist Education, and she is the one who kind of got me started into higher education and academia. I had dual roles at La Sierra, both as associate professor, but also as associate director for the Center for Research on Adventist Education. And she just, boy, talk about a godly influence, on my life personally, professionally, how to lead, how to manage people, how to take the room by charge without really bossing your way around, I guess, but still doing it in a way that is respectful and yet getting things done. So those are two individuals I can think of.
Very valuable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, very interesting. The mentors in our lives often shape us more than we realize at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They guide us.
But absolutely.
You know, it's interesting to hear something of your educational experience. You're an educator at the core. And so you've had a lot of experience at various levels. Okay. If you're like most of us, you've probably grown in your understanding of student development and spiritual life over time. Can you let us in on some of that journey?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, starting my career in the fifth grade classroom and teaching there for a number of years, I was principal at a K-8 and so worked again with that demographic, students and their families, then moving to the academy level. And that's a different ball game. Those of you with children or who have been in the classroom, it's vastly different, right? The students there have different priorities, as they're developing, and then spending the last decade in higher education and getting to see a whole nother level of young adults as they're coming into their own. So it really is interesting to see that spectrum of development. And I think there's so much you can do and impact and at each of those levels. I think one of the things I love about higher education and young adults is just that coming into their own, coming into independence, where they are leaving not only their family behind, literally, right, and moving into the dorm or moving to another state and starting their college experience, but they're also moving away from what their parents have drilled into them and have surrounded them by, and they're able to make their own decisions. And there really is a, you know, we call it a come to Jesus conversation, and maybe several of those, right? Where they're deciding for themselves, is this something that's meaningful to me? Is this something that's valuable? Is this something that I want to continue on in my adult life? And so it's neat to be a part of that at this level of higher education. It's different, right? From the elementary classroom where the kids are still so surrounded and still have that cocoon of their family. And then even in high school, they're starting to grapple with it. But yeah, I feel like really in this undergraduate experience is where students are finding themselves, and we get to be there to walk alongside that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those come to Jesus moments that you mentioned, like, I feel like I'm still having those.
Absolutely.
my point in my journey.
Yes.
So it's, I feel like having those mentors that can help you as you're walking through your own journey, and then somehow being able to use that experience to help others walk through theirs. And I also think this brings me back to your research, actually. I'm curious how that research that you've done into Adventist culture has helped shape how you approach the work you're doing in higher ed and education in general, but we'll talk about higher ed primarily because that's where we are. But I know that trying to walk with other people as they go through this spiritual journey is kind of an important role. And how has that research, what have you found in your research that's kind of guided that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be like a whole nother conversation right. and hours that we can deep dive into that. But essentially, you know, my research focused on Adventist culture. And I tried to make a point of like, this isn't about doctrine. You know, this isn't about general spirituality, but culture and who we are as Adventists and how that's defined. And so what I really wanted to look at was how to correlate Adventist culture and school choice, because that again was my focus of study at that time, was K-12, and where were parents choosing to put their kids in school, and how was that impacted by how they were raised as Adventists, right? But in order to do that, I first had to quantify what Adventist culture was. So like I could have a scale to say, maybe not out loud, but at least in my head and in writing, like, how Adventist are you? And so that's kind of what led me down this track of Adventist culture and really like drilling down into it. So lots of different conversations with people across the country as I followed this methodology to quantify what Adventist culture was, and in doing so was able to validate and verify that, yes, we have this thing called Adventist culture, this thing where we all refer to Special K loaf and Rook and engagement watches. Like, we can say this. And this was what was so fun about doing this research and making presentations, because I would go from audience to audience, you know, across the country, and people would laugh at these things because we all were speaking the same language. Right. And so being able to identify that and say, yes, we do have an Adventist culture, and then using that as a variable to then kind of compare and look at it with other things, such as, for instance, school choice. But looking at Adventist culture specifically, what came across clearly is that our church is evolving. Mm-hmm. Our church is changing, because I would have these conversations and I would ask these questions to gather this data, right, to validate Adventist culture. And people across the country, whether I was talking with them in the state of Washington or Kansas or Florida, when I would ask them about Adventist culture, my prompt was, describe a traditional Adventist and their values and behaviors. And they would just rattle off this list. And everybody, I say that in my presentations, like by the time I had interviewed 12 people, I had reached saturation, because everybody was saying the exact same thing about not drinking alcohol, not wearing jewelry, reading the Bible, being involved in Pathfinders, observing the Sabbath, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So anyways, but what was interesting in many of these conversations, and they didn't know where I was going with this data, this was just a conversation we were having, and they would say, now I don't do those things anymore, but ... And then they would rattle off this list. Or they would say, yeah, they would say my parents had us do this, or this is how I was raised, but this isn't who I am. And it just really made me think about what culture is, and when does it stop being culture when nobody practices it anymore, right? Mm. Which then, of course, leads to thinking about this, the young adults, this generation coming up, because most of my sample was, I would say, 25 to 75 year olds. But if you ask teens who have been brought up in the church, I bet that their answers would be very different. So then it begs the question, what are our kids growing up coming into this church? Where is the relevance for them in Adventist culture? And I think that's kind of what, sorry to the long story or the long way about answering your question, as to how this informs my work in higher education. I think that's the key word that I'm kind of leaning into, is the relevance of how can we make our church and our culture, because while I say those things a little bit facetiously about, you know, the people who say that we don't do that anymore, whatever, there is still such value, I think, in our culture and some of the things we do, right? And they came from a belief or a core principle. And I think maybe along the way, it's kind of like the game of telephone, right? Where you started out with this great idea and this great principle, but as it has been transmitted through the decades, have we lost the meaning? And do our kids then know, why is it that we observe the Sabbath? Why do we hold these things dear? It's not just a random policy or rule, but it started as something. And if we can reframe it for our students, for our young adults, for our kids, if we can make that the point of the message. This is why we do what we do, as opposed to just, we don't sweat on Sabbath, which I kid you not was one of the responses I got. Like that's what legit, Sabbath observance is.
No swimming, no biking.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And if
it checks out.
Yeah. Right. And if we can, if we can share that with our students as to why we do and why we believe what we do, I would hope that there would be that they would be newly inspired, that they would be have a new understanding, a fresh take as to, oh, this is what Adventism means. And this is a culture and a church that can be relevant to who I am and what I do.
I kind of want to do that research now. Like, yeah, I kind of want to do so like fun. Similar to what you did, but like 18 and under or right. 20 and under.
Oh,
and I totally. Know that adds a whole new layer of like research rules and all sorts of things. But I do think that it could be super fascinating. And I'm curious if the responses we get would actually surprise us, and maybe they don't know the things that we think that,
that's
that they
true
should,
as well.
But maybe they're shifting what the relevance is themselves. Anyway, I'd be curious.
Yes, that would be fascinating, because there is a continual shift. We see this in the classroom. Each group of students coming in as freshmen are a little bit different than the previous group, but it's not all one direction either. There's sometimes a cycle or an oscillation in perspective. Yep. So I'm curious, in the midst of all this chaos you've been describing.
Yes.
Right. What are your core values or philosophies that guide your approach to student and spiritual life at the college level?
I think the first is belonging. Mm-hmm. I want our students to feel like they belong, that this is home, that this is their family, their tribe, their community. That's something that's really important to me, and that I have felt from the time that I have stepped onto this campus, is that intimacy, that ability to be yourself, the opportunities. I have just seen students, both literally and metaphorically, like arms wide open, like come join us. And that's something that's really important to me, both on a student development level as well as spiritual, right? Where students can feel that there is space for them here, that they can figure out, in the figuring out of who they are surrounded by people who know and who love them. Mm.
I feel like what you're describing is a holistic approach to bringing people into a community at whatever level they're at. And I'm curious what does it mean to you to support students holistically here at PUC?
Well, I think it means that yes, we are an academic education, and we want them to get a high quality education that they can go out and become contributing members of society. Absolutely. But I think right up there, equal to, is that we are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian college, and we want to bring our students to Jesus. I think those two things go hand in hand on our campus. And so in doing so, that does mean that we are looking at the student holistically, that we are trying to support them, that we want them to thrive in all of those ways, right? We want them to thrive academically and get into med school, dent school, graduate school. But we want them to do that with a feeling of spiritual awakening and energy, where they also feel value in that aspect of them, that those things are not separate, but they actually complement each other, that they are thriving emotionally, socially, physically. It's all the things. And I think about that a lot, actually, as I've been trying to get a lay of the land and figure out my role here. But in student and spiritual life, I've got these departments under me, and they kind of represent that. They, you know, res life, counseling, mental health, student wellness, athletics, like it's just the whole gamut of, and I think it's representative of how we want to support our students in all of these ways.
She said spiritual awakening, and that segues really nicely into something else we wanted to talk about, which was the theme.
That's true. Yeah, the theme. So you oversee the student group
that
helped develop the department that developed the theme for this year. And one of the prominent features of PUC has been student leadership. It's a little different than some places. And so students certainly help to set the culture to some extent. But regarding that theme, we wanted to ask about that theme. What is your hope for the way in which a theme like this year's theme could help to shape the culture of PUC?
Yeah. So our theme, yes, that we've come around to is the journey. And I love that we are setting off, because as you've talked about with student leadership and our different groups on campus, from my understanding, at least in most recent history, that there have been themes within different groups, right? Like whether it's SA or campus ministries or faculty and staff. And this year, again, I don't know if it's brand new and maybe this has been done in a prior administration or leadership, but we have a single theme that will be overarching for our entire campus. And that means our students, that means faculty, staff, administration, that we are all kind of sort of, I don't know, hanging our hats on this. And I think what I love about that, I think a couple things. One, that it brings some cohesiveness to the campus, right? Where we see the same messaging and branding on the screens across campus, or for dorm worships or vespers or faculty worships. Like, we can all sort of lean into this. I love that cohesiveness. I like that it provides something to lean on and to that creates structure, if you will, to the conversations that we're having. I've talked with our chaplain, who I think maybe you'll be bringing in on another segment or so, about splitting up the quarters as beginning of the journey, midway, and then kind of coming to the end of the school year, right? Yeah, sure. And I think it works well because winter quarter, as we all know, can be kind of that like slump where you're, you know, it's not all that beginning of year energy anymore. It's not the end in sight. It's just this like the valley of, and I think that is so, that can be paralleled so nicely with that theme of the journey, right? So I think a couple of few different things that I'm excited about in having this theme for our school year.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I think that intersection between spiritual and academic and personal is really important. And it goes back to that holistic approach to everything that we've been
Absolutely.
Talking about here, with having, you know, having all of that connected somehow during their journey here at PUC. So you kind of started talking about it a little bit, but can we dive a little bit deeper into how do you believe spiritual life intersects with academic and personal growth here on PUC campus?
I think that's the beautiful thing about working on a Christian campus in a Christian environment is that we don't separate those things, right? That we believe that it is difficult, if not impossible, to thrive in one of those aspects if you are not moving forward in your spiritual journey as well, that those things go hand in hand. And I think that's something that we really want our students to understand, is that yeah, those things are not separate from each other. Mm-hmm. That coming back to Sabbath values and traditions, or what we do, is how important that Sabbath space and time mm-hmm. is. And it's not just a rule that we follow, but how it enhances the rest of our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Shifting a little bit to changes.
Yeah.
You're a leader. You have a master's degree in leadership, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And certainly plenty of experience in leadership as well. So you're coming in with a leadership bias to PUC and looking at what could be, unlock some of the potential and those kinds of things. Yeah. What are some of the changes or initiatives you're most excited about for this year?
That's a great question. I am looking to reframe and rebrand community.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's our Thursday morning.
That is our Thursday morning, yeah, okay. Gathering, school-wide gathering. You jump in midstream and you hear all this conversation. I'm trying to gather this context for it. And there had been talk about changing venues. There had been talk about what it was. And again, with the game of telephone and how things evolve. And I think that community started as something a few years ago and somebody's brainchild, and it's kind of, you know, evolved along the way. And so I guess a couple of things with that. One, I would love to have to be intentional about the spiritual undergirding in community, that we are not necessarily looking for a 45-minute sermon, or it doesn't need to be proselytizing, but that there is an understanding of this is a sacred space. Mm-hmm. What can we do in that space weekly together as we meet together. You know, what might that look like? I'm looking at changing up the venues, maybe not every single week, but we have great spaces around this campus that we can utilize. And so seeing if we can change that up a little bit, maybe move into Pollen for a bit, maybe go out to the amphitheater, what that looks for service day, all these things. Mm. So that's still in the works, but that's something I'm excited about because that is my baby, if you will. That happens to fall squarely into what I do. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the things that are happening in our athletics program. We have a new AD on campus, mm-hmm. Tony Nakashima, and he is making waves down there and doing things. And I know that there has also been some transition in that program. And so I'm excited to be able to help support that and our student athletes as they are on our campus as well. So those are a couple things I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
Along with change and excitement, I know that brings some challenges as well. So let's do a little bit. We've talked about all the exciting, interesting new things. I'm curious, what kind of challenges are you expecting this year and how are you preparing for them? Or how are you preparing for challenges you can't actually predict?
Sure. I think what I have experienced so far is I think a tension that any leader coming in new experiences, and that is, you know, that tension between doing all the things and ripping off the Band-Aid and I'm brand new, so what are they going to do to me, right? The ask forgiveness rather than permission. Right. And then there's the other mentality of moving slowly, you know, getting a lay of the land, collecting all that, getting the context first, like no sudden moves, no big changes in that first year. And so I feel kind of batted around between the two of them. So I feel like maybe that's not a specific challenge, but just kind of a challenge that I'm facing, I guess, with my personality as well. Another thing is I'm very impatient and I kind of want to fast forward from like, let's just see how it is at the end. Let's get to that. Let's establish those relationships and develop those new projects and let's just get there. And I sometimes need to remind myself to just like take it down a notch and
enjoy the journey.
Yes,
Amy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. One of the big challenges of leadership, especially when you're stepping in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Understood. So as you get to know the campus a bit more, and as we get to know you, what would be something that would be surprising for us to learn about you?
Something surprising. I'm so brand new at this point. I bet I could say a lot of things and people would go, oh, I had no idea. Well, maybe one thing that's surprising, and especially because I'm in administration in a more public role, I'm a lot more introverted, I think, than people think that I am. Mm. I think I can come across as extroverted and I do love the energy of being around people. But at the end of the day, I want nothing more than just to crawl in bed with a book.
Understood.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I think you're in good company here. For sure. So speaking of with a good book, what are you reading right now? What are you listening to, watching? What is speaking to you or feeding your soul? What is making you think?
I saw this question ahead of time and I was like, man, do I give them like the good proper answers of like high literature that I'm reading? I am a bookworm. I probably read 100 to 150 books a year, but it is generally just fiction, just something to get my mind off of everything else that's happening at work. So I don't know if there's anything like super high quality that I'm currently reading. That's a terrible answer, but oh, I love lots of different authors. Frederick Bachman, I just finished one of his latest books.
None of his books are bad.
Right?
They make you feel all the feels. They're so real.
Can we start a podcast on books?
I think I feel a book club coming on. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. So just finished that. I read This Is More Unlike Me. And again, this is fiction. This is nothing highbrow, but Ready Player Two, which is a sequel to Ready Player One. It's a bit into sci-fi, which is not like me at all, but loved it. I actually usually have two books going on at one. Like I'm reading something like by my nightstand and then I'm listening to a book as I'm out walking and such as well. I'm not a big watcher. Generally in our household, my husband is laying in bed watching something and I'm right next to him reading something. And that's just kind of how we coexist. So yeah.
And speaking of walking, I've seen you out with your dogs.
Yes.
You have a couple of beagles.
I do.
Yeah, they're adorable.
Thank you. Thank you.
So when you're not working, I mean, we're kind of segueing that way anyway. Like what brings you joy? What do you like to do when you're not in the office or?
Yeah. Besides reading, I journal quite a bit. I like being active. So like you've said, see me out walking, hiking with the dogs, at the gym. I love to bake, not necessarily for the process of baking. I know some people feel that that whole process is therapeutic. I have discovered that I love feeding people. So I love the end product.
I make a note of that.
Yes. Yeah. I will be sent. I often bring things into the office or send things to meetings. That's my love language, is making people feel fed, be fed. So yeah, enjoy that.
I love that. I have, my 13-year-old loves baking.
Okay.
Her favorite thing to make is scones.
Oh, awesome.
And I am totally here for it.
Yes.
Here's all the ingredients. Go.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I do think there's a special thing about that. Some people have gifts of hospitality, and I feel like baking and cooking is a huge part of some of that. And I feel like that I don't necessarily have the gift of hospitality, but I like to feed people too.
Yes.
Like I can make food for people if they're going through a hard time and they just don't have time to make anything. They don't have the bandwidth to create a meal. I'm happy to do that. I think, yeah. I don't know. I think that's a spiritual gift. Honestly, I think that speaks to souls.
Yeah, I do.
It's healing.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to move into a part of the podcast that I did not warn Amy about. This is the,
go for
it. The fun part. We're going to do an Adventist Have You Ever.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So these are yes or no questions, and you can elaborate if you want, but okay, we're going to just dive right in. I've got several of them.
Okay.
Have you ever been to a potluck with six types of mac and cheese and almost no vegetables?
Of course.
So like every Adventist.
Of course.
Potluck. Have you ever accidentally eaten carob at potluck thinking it was chocolate?
Yes, but I really like carob.
Okay, that's fair.
I really do. My kids tried it the other. It was kind of recently. They were like, what is in my mouth?
Exactly. If you're prepared for it, it's not bad.
Right.
I think just, your Adventist credibility just went
right
up.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Sure. Couple points there, right?
I just felt like if we're talking to the lady who has done a bunch of Adventist culture research, we're just going to see here.
Yes,
we're going to go for it. Have you ever gotten in trouble for playing Rook on Sabbath?
I thought that was one of the acceptable games that you could play. Although, no, you know what? I remember my dad actually saying, why do you have cards out on Sabbath?
Cards.
I was like, but it's Rook.
Yeah.
The cards. Yeah.
And then once it's sundown, you can move into Dutch Blitz, right?
You speak to my heart.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad we know each other here. Have you ever used the word stripples in front of a non-Adventist and regretted it?
Yes. And have you ever typed it out and had it spell checked and auto-corrected to strippers and then printed that out by mistake? Been there, done that. Both of those. Yes.
I was just telling them before we started recording that one time I referenced having a can of hot dogs to somebody and they looked at me like I was crazy. And I suddenly realized, oh, that's not normal.
Yes.
My hot dogs come in a can.
And if you look on the box of stripples, it's actually not written anywhere. Do you know that? It's not called stripples. I don't actually
because
remember.
I think that was the Worthington.
Yes.
I think that was the Worthington brand. And they don't make them anymore. Yeah. Now it's Morningstar Farms.
Right.
It's kind of like the Adventist Community Service Center is the Dorcas. It's not anywhere on the sign.
That is true. We all call it that though.
Yes.
We know.
Yep. Love it.
Yep.
We know.
Culture.
Yeah.
Have you ever worn a Pathfinder sash?
Yes. Not a lot. My husband's the one who almost made it to Master Guide and he does all the things. I was not as deeply embedded into the Pathfinder culture, but then had to go to Oshkosh, I think two Oshkoshes ago. And I was there with the NAD Office of Education, and that was a whole thing because that was my first experience at Camp Arena. I was like, wow. I mean, you talk about culture.
Speak about culture,
it's
exactly
right here. So yes. Yes.
Have you ever used Happy Sabbath as a genuine greeting and a conversation escape hatch?
Yes to both of those things. And then you have to say Happy Sabbath from the front and then you have to wait, right? And then you say Happy Sabbath again and then you get the response. Yes.
It's
to
good
all
morning.
The things.
Uh-huh. My husband hates that. He's such an introvert. He's like, why did every speaker do that? Just say it once and just accept our answer. Move on. All right. Have you ever called your Sabbath afternoon nap lay activities?
Yes, yes, and yes. And boy, is that something that we love more. And I remember being a kid and being kind of frustrated with my parents. And now we're here and please leave me alone because what else do you want me to do on a Sabbath afternoon?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Have you ever met a relative of Ellen White?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, twice. I think in high school, there was a student who was a, you know, a great, great grandchild. And then in academy as well, or actually as we were working at an academy, we knew somebody who was, I think a great nephew. Yes.
Nice. Oh,
and then we've moved up here and we're like right next to the home. It's so exciting.
It is definitely, she's true blue Adventist
right
here. I'm just, okay. Last question. Have you ever judged someone based on how they build a haystack?
Always. Always. I mean, the first question is tortilla chips or Fritos, right? Like you can just start an argument.
Yeah,
just
you
there.
Totally can.
Mm-hmm. And the answer is obvious, right?
I mean,
Fritos.
Ah, tortilla chips. We gotta have words about this after.
Maybe we're not actually here for each other, Amy.
Yeah, right.
All right. I have one final question for you, kind of going back to a little bit more serious. If you could leave one sentence on a sticky note for every student to read, what would it say?
You belong here. Mm. You belong here.
We have been talking to Dr. Amy Leukert, our new vice president for spiritual and student life, student and spiritual life. Yes. And thank you for having a conversation with us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's been really good getting to know you.
Thank you.
I'm really excited
Likewise.
About a book club now.
Yes, me too.
So if today's conversation gave you a new perspective, sparked a question, or stirred something worth sitting with, subscribe to the podcast so you can keep exploring with us. We're here to uplift, encourage, remind you that you're not alone in this journey.
And if you're on Instagram, follow us at @uncharted_PUC for uplifting campus stories, fresh perspectives, and a little inspiration for the road ahead. Until next time, explore boldly, care deeply, and lead bravely.